Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So on this day, Crowder, 15 years ago today, South Florida sports changed forever. Mm-hmm. You recall what 15 years ago today was?
That was when LeBron did the Jim Gray interview with that little weird ashy shirt on.
That's right. It was the decision. Mm-hmm. Who was wearing a ashy shirt?
LeBron. He had a stylist.
I don't recall what he was. What was he wearing? Did he look a
blue little box shirt? It was It wasn't.
No, it was red. It was like a red like farmer's vibes almost from LeBron. Checkered pattern.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking.
Oh, yeah. I see it. Yeah. Yeah, why is he wearing that?
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember, like, I'm like, okay, and he announces, and I'm like, okay, and then I'm watching, and I'm like, why the hell does he have that on?
Like, yeah, it's like a checkered shirt.
Yeah, nobody does window boxes anymore, Bron.
Yeah, what is he wearing? Look at that.
That's what, like, a farmer from Iowa considers fancy clothes, you know? Like,
I imagine that's what Red Deer Randy Moeller wore to New York City the first time when he got there and was drafted and had never been to the big city before. Yeah, with the
He needs to put on a leather vest and push the cattle down to lot 18. Like, what are you wearing?
Well, it was 15 years ago. Today, I was reading something in Awful Announcing, and they write, there are precious few televised moments in sports where we collectively remember where we were when we saw it broadcast live. And I've told the story before. We've all told our stories of where we were. But I was on the Jersey Shore at a rainforest cafe. And the funny thing is, that first line in the Awful Announcing story resonated with me because I remember watching things, but you don't often remember exactly where you were when you were watching something. And I was at that rainforest cafe on the Jersey Shore. They go on to write, the list grows even smaller when you exclude games, right? So now remember where you were when something happened. Like, I remember the Magic Johnson AIDS press conference, but I don't recall where I was watching it. I remember vividly watching it, but I don't know where I was. But I can tell you the exact precise location for the decision with LeBron. I'll read you just a couple of things that it says here so you can get more of a national take. It says, for something to stick in our minds without a score attached to it, it must be seismic. On the evening of July 8th, 2010, one of the most famous athletes on the planet went on ESPN and told America, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat. Goes on, blah, blah, blah. The decision changed the NBA forever, opening the door to player empowerment. However, it came at a cost, negatively altering the public's perception of LeBron James, making him seem like someone who was far more calculating, passive aggressive, and narcissistic than we initially expected. Even though the decision was a charitable program raising over $2 million for the Boys and Girls Club, it was poorly received from a public relations standpoint, and it's noteworthy that no athlete has attempted to replicate the decision, including James himself. The past two times he switched teams, the official statements were comparatively low-key. He announced his return to the Cleveland Cavaliers with the I'm Coming Home Sports Illustrated essay, which I remember exactly where I was when that came out as well. I was at a Vegas buffet with Unfunny Lewis getting ready to do a show for a fight with Jim Gray. He was our first guest that day, Jim Gray. and then it says, when he signed with the Lakers in 2018, the news was announced via press release on Twitter from James representatives at Clutch Sports. Both instances, awful announcing rights, were tacit admissions that the decision was a mistake. But what an amazing time it was in the world of sports media. James free agency was the greatest cliffhanger in NBA offseason history. And I go on to write about, you know, what it meant and how it changed things. But it was the greatest cliffhanger in off-season sports history. I agree with that.
I do not. I do agree with the greatest cliffhanger. I don't agree it's a mistake, though. That's not a mistake. There is no other athlete that changed teams. We don't have a day that we talk about Brady leaving New England. We don't have a day we talk about Peyton leaving the Colts. We don't have a day we talk about Jordan signing with the damn Bobcats. What the hell? He goes Charlotte. It's a day like that decision that LeBron made to make it something. That's big time. We're talking about that 15 years later. I think it was a great decision because of the fact that we're talking about it 15 years later. I don't think it was a mistake at all.
But do you think LeBron wishes it never transpired that way? That he just did a traditional announcement the way any other athlete announces their moving teams, whether it's a press release from the team. Nowadays, it's a Shams bomb. I don't know, 15 years ago, like he did when he went back to Cleveland with Sports Illustrated. Like, do you think he wishes that that never happened, that he never participated in that actual TV show?
Business-wise, no, because it set him apart from every other athlete in the history of time.
Never to be replicated. Business-wise, no.
You can't do the decision too. I don't give a damn Wembanyama leaves in 5 years. Nobody's going to give a damn about it like they cared about where LeBron's going, because LeBron is LeBron. Did he like you said, and you're a wordsmith, or I don't know if that wasn't you. That was the damn Athletic.
I'm just reading
I was saying you did that, but
great comment.
How it painted him, how it changed the perception of him as this young, just basketball loving, you know, kind of, bubbly guy to a businessman that's kind of manipulating it really changed everybody's perspective of him. So I don't know if he likes it personally, but business wise, what's his agent's name? Rich Paul. We had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
If you ask Rich Paul, that is a genius move. Because he did something at a time of sports that has never been done before.
I agree. It was revelatory, and it was, like you say, never been done before, but never could be done again. There was a naivete surrounding LeBron James, and we were all complicit in that. We were naive in who we thought, but I don't think it was just LeBron. I think we were all naive in who we thought our athletes were, and they probably were to a point up until that. And then all the athletes started to realize, oh, wait a second, I've got more power in these relationships than I was aware of. Like, I can dictate the terms of where I'm going. I don't always have to be a passive pawn in the game. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a guy was unhappy on a team. He was unhappy on a team. Yeah, too bad. Hit the bricks.
Yeah.
Like and that all began to change. And so, I mean, the Athletic world owes LeBron James a huge thank you for that, because he flexed a power that he didn't necessarily have to flex. And it changed the game for everyone, i.e. Kevin Durant, who literally keeps picking places that he wants to go play.
When they say player empowerment and the players run the NBA, unlike other sports, when a player says, I'm not going here, I want to go there, no trade clauses and all of that stuff, they should call it LeBroning. That they should make a verb with his name calling it LeBroning, and other players should appreciate that he set this standard. You have to be so damn good to tell a league to kiss my butt, I'm doing what I want to. So some players can't do it, but it should be called LeBron thing when players do it now.
He'll always have the I made money for charity in his back pocket, because that is true. He had the kids out there. I think it was for the Boys and Girls Club in Akron or in Cleveland or maybe just in Ohio that he made a ton of money. All the proceeds of the event went to it, so he'll never admit it. But LeBron James did not like the reaction because of how long the decision went.
He experienced something he never had to experience in his life.
Right. So
imagine being the most beloved person in the room from the time you're in grade school to the time you're a professional. He's a professional. He's never experienced anything like what he experienced.
So Crowder, I think he can have the same type of impact without the decision itself. I really do believe that. He could have had the same type of impact.
Do you think, though, let me ask you this, though. Do you think the Heat would have been reviled as much and LeBron would have been despised as much if there was never the decision? It was just an athlete moving teams during free agency like any other athlete.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember how we were vilified down here?
It was the parade, too, though. The parade.
Correct. Yeah. Pat Riley said, I loved it, but Pat Riley says that was a mistake.
Yeah.
But it all started with the decision, because he's doing it in Akron and everyone there wants him to stay. And he's like, bye. And all of a sudden they're burning his jerseys. I just wonder if it was a press release, like, would there have been a reaction of, wow, thank you, LeBron, for what you did for us, and we wish you well in Miami and the NBA fandom at large. Like, wow, look what Miami did. Or was the decision, the show itself, the catalyst into Miami being hated so much by the media, the fans, other teams?
100% the Heat hate. It was already there, but it elevated with the decision. It elevated with the big three. But I just, what I'm watching, what's the show called I'm watching? Yellowstone with Kevin Costner. Everything comes back around. Everything comes back around. Do you value yourself off the world's view of you? Or do you value yourself off your morality and your decisions that you make as a good man? I think LeBron's a good man. I think LeBron is a good businessman. I think he's a good husband. I think he's a good father. Why the hell do you care what people think about what you do? And I think he does, and I think that's why it eats at him. But it was a great decision for him to come to Miami. I think it was a great decision for him to go back to Cleveland. I think it was a great decision for his post-career to go to L.A. for him personally. And the world around him is going to criticize him, and you need to look at the world and tell him, F you. I'm doing the best decision for me. I think LeBron struggles with that, and I think To your question, he struggles with telling the world F you, because he really cares about the bigger picture of people's thought of him. Go to hell.
That show with Kevin Costner, does he play Wyatt Earp?
It's not in the 60s, Hawk.
The 1860s.
It's in the 2000s. They have iPhones.
Yeah, I'm not so certain you're watching the show that I've heard about.
I'm watching Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
iPhones.
Isn't it about the old West and Wyatt Earp?
No, not Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp.
We have a lot to get to today. John Michaels is going to join us from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. We're going to play a little Talk About It Tuesday today, and Josh Appel is going to jump in for it because he had sent us a text last week. A conundrum that he was facing. And Solana said, you know what? Let's save it for Talk About It Tuesday. And so we'll get Appel's answer to a question that none of us really care about. But he'll hop on with us for Talk About It Tuesday. Let us begin, though, with headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Here are your headlines with S.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, now that you mention it, really is a dumb question Appel texted us. You could just scrap them if you want. I didn't realize how dumb that was. Yeah.
What do you have in the headlines, S?
Not much,
Anna. S.
My turn to talk, C.
Well, your graphic says S.
Yeah, I know. I got you. I got you.
But we didn't know that you had... I know we added your name to the show, but now you're just going by S?
Just call me S.
All right.
Lowercase S.
Let's change it down.
You changed it to uppercase.
Capital S. Yeah.
Hey, Los Marlins have won 11 of their last 14, gentlemen. They won last night. They beat the Rojos.
DJ said, sent me a DM about the home run derby. He's like, this home run derby is massive. Who was added today? O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I DM'd him back. I'm like, they need Mervis. Mm-hmm. But shadow ban.
11-3-14.
Imagine what they'd be if they hadn't shadow banned Mervis. 14-0. Mm-hmm. Pretty obvious.
9-5.
Well, if they didn't let him bat against lefties, probably.
It is funny how this script turned on you, because for about, I don't know, a week, you were sitting pretty with the fish just stumbling. But then all of a sudden, they win 8 straight. Now they've won 11-14.
But how about where Mervis went? The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. All of a sudden, they punched their ticket to the playoffs, and they haven't done that in a decade. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was all Mervis. He gets to the team. They go on a tear. He's on a tear. And then what? Have you heard his name recently? No. Why? Shadow ban. That's what happened to Jim Gray after the decision.
What?
Shadow ban.
Would that work with my wife if I, just shadow ban anytime we argue?
Any situation that you want to get out of, just claim something or someone was shadow banned.
Okay.
I get out of bills at restaurants by doing that. I drive people so crazy. Where's my discount? I got shadow banned? What discount? And then you just start talking about shadow banned, and then you just walk out of there in a big huff. Mm-hmm. You can't go back to that restaurant, admittedly, ever. Probably nowhere on that block.
Oh, okay. So it's simple.
You have to shadow ban yourself from the block.
You have to shadow ban yourself from shadow banning yourself.
Correct.
This shadow ban is deep, Hawk. You got to write me something up. You got to write me a dissertation.
It's deeper than you could even imagine.
Okay. I just need to know. Take the garbage out. Now, I was shadow banned.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. So, listen, maybe you
would
disappear
that work,
for a couple
though?
Hours at home. Maybe you disappear for a couple hours at home. Maybe Asia expects you to be somewhere. You're not there. Oh, that's the problem when you're shadow banned.
I'm shadow banned from the house?
Yeah, it's so nebulous. Shadow banned. Mm-hmm. I've been shadow banned. Mm-hmm. You see how it works.
Yeah. You're not married to a Cuban woman.
Are you? Shadow banned.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know.
I don't know if I'm not going to scream shadow banned at Asia over and over again. Because
we'll try it.
No, I don't. She'll hit me.
Continue on with your headlines.
All right, S.
Inter Miami
Capital
at New England tomorrow. FIFA Club World Cup semifinals, or as I referred to them yesterday, the clubs. Flones and Chelsea today at 3 p.m.
That's on TNT, ass.
Sure is.
It's ass. Don't let him get to your ass.
What? Yeah, ass. I'm just it's the graphic you put up for your name.
What's that?
Ass.
I don't think it's ass. Just S.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Ass.
No, you're saying ass.
Ass.
Yeah, ass.
No, not ass. Just S.
All right. You have anything else in the headlines? Ass. Ass.
Listen to this. What Sham Sharania tweets out. Summer of SGA. MVP award. League scoring title. NBA championship. Finals MVP. $285 million Supermax extension. First signature shoe release. And now, shadow banned. Crazy.
Wow. I had no idea that was coming.
And now SGA will grace the new cover of NBA 2K26. So you can go ahead, everybody, put it in right now. Anybody but the Thunder to win the NBA right. title next season. Confirmed.
Did you see? You sent it to us. Anthony Davis had a detached retina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just had that procedure. The Ticket Wizard had a detached retina.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go. I was talking with Dr. Lascano. We were talking about him before the show. You have to be face down for 3 to 6 months, literally 24 hours a day, for the retina to reattach. You can't do anything.
3 to 6 months?
Yep. It's the most.
You have to lay down for 3 months.
So they sell these things at the medical supply store so you can have a chair like this where your head goes down so you could read your phone, you know, underneath, almost like a massage table. But you're allowed to be upright to eat for 5 minutes an hour for like the first few weeks. Then it goes up to 10 minutes an hour, then 15 minutes an hour. And, but yeah, 3 to 6 months, you are face down 24 hours a day, essentially.
He going to be garbage next season.
Well, it's funny. I sent the thing that Solana sent us. I forwarded it to the Ticket Wizard.
Right.
And he was like, bet every under. He's never going to see the same for the rest of his life.
I don't think wow. the Ticket Wizard exaggerated, because I know this was a serious thing. But it says in the report, Anthony Davis expected to be back healthy for the start of the season. Hawk, the start of the season is less than 3 months away.
July, August, September. Doesn't it start in October?
Yeah, like late October.
Yeah. So he probably had the procedure, I'm guessing, a month ago. Has another couple months to recover from it. You just don't mess around with it. You like there's I don't want to get into it because I want to break and have enough time for John Michaels. But they put an air bubble in your eye to monitor it to see how the retina is reattaching. The air bubble, it literally uses gravity. The eye uses gravity to reattach the retina. And until that air bubble has disappeared, the retina is not reattached. And so they keep monitoring it. But the only way to get it to take, essentially, is for gravity to do its work.
They said Anthony Davis got busted in the face. It knocked his retina. How do you get a detached retina?
Yeah, blows to the eye. It can happen. It said in that thing that he had taken several strikes to the face. Yeah.
Yeah. It says
how the hell did the Ticket Wizard get his retina detached? He was getting in fights.
That's a great question, and he has told it to me. Sometimes it just happens with age. Sometimes you sneeze too hard in your late 50s, and you detach your retina.
So life got a hold of.
I think life got a hold of the Ticket Wizard.
Okay.
I don't think it was a pickup game, if that's what you're asking.
Hey, man, the traffic game is no joke, you know? What the Ticket Wizard is doing.
Valid point. Yeah. That's a valid point.
Yeah.
That's a contact sport.
Mm-hmm.
Going to trial?
Sure.
What courtroom have y'all seen?
You're taking verbal blows to the face.
Barry, I'm joking. If you're listening, Barry, I'm joking, man. I love you.
Well, Barry, Ticket Wizard, look at the bright side. You don't have a piece of ass on your foot.
He can't look at the bright side. He can't see. He don't know where the bright side is.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover law firm. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. That's gonna be tough to shake, man. That's gonna be tough to shake.
Give it the best shot, ass.
Hot, humid. Probably
gonna take us a while to start calling you ass, but if that's what you want.
Probably shouldn't have worn long sleeves today. You got it what?
I said I got it down now. It's cool. You want to be called ass? I might call you ass.
Thought you said
that's
something
what
else.
You want, man.
Whatever it is, you were Alex and then Alejandro, and now it's ass. I'm gonna transition for you because I love you.
Jimmy, he ask you when you're around him, call him ass?
No, at all. I can still call him.
Call his dad. Jimmy, get his dad on the phone. Eduardo Solana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ask him if he likes to be called ass around the house.
Go ahead, Jimmy. I'll read you his number.
I can only imagine what would happen if Jimmy had a phone conversation with Eduardo. Eduardo would hear it if it happened. Like, Eduardo would send Jimmy to his room and Jimmy would go.
Most likely.
Yeah, because Eduardo doesn't have time for nonsense. No. That's all Jimmy brings to the table.
Solana, could Jimmy have survived in your house growing up?
Oh, no, no, no.
No chance.
It's why I'm perfectly suited to work with the two of you. Like,
right.
To me, you guys calling me ass for a couple days.
Right. I mean, this is easy. We're not putting our cigarette butts out on you.
It's a pleasantry.
All right. Anything else?
That's all from ass.
All right. Ass out.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Ain't no way Solana got a degree.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Michaels is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, Dolphins training camp is around the corner. Kane's not too far away. Heat are making moves. Finally, you got Summer League. We're keeping an eye on the Panthers, the Marlins. I mean, if you want to keep up with everything, you can listen to our show on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn. So wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or the TuneIn app, you can listen to Hockman, Crowder, and Solana. John Michaels is the morning host on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He can be heard nationally at times on ESPN Radio. Do you remember where you were? We talked about it at the beginning of the show today. Today's 15-year anniversary of the decision with LeBron, and I was reading something from Awful Announcing, and they were saying, like, this is one of the few times where there's no score involved. It's not a sporting event, but you remember exactly where you were, what you were doing when you watched the decision. Do you?
100%. I remember the lead up first and foremost, like for, I don't know, it seemed like for 9 weeks, although it wasn't that long. Every day it was LeBron's going to New York. LeBron's going here. He's going to Chicago. He's locked in. And I think it was the night before.
Looks like we lost John. Let me get him back on the line.
Okay. I didn't know if that was my connection or not. It was like we seem to have completely lost
him. You know, my connection. I'm always worried about my connection.
I was like, man, did I lose my headphones? What happened there? He was in the middle of a thought. We'll get John Michaels back on the phone here, and we will continue our conversation. I want to talk more about things than just LeBron decision.
Yeah. I got stuff about the Heat and now this Norman Powell that y'all are extremely excited about. That I'm excited, but y'all are Christmas excited. I'm Halloween excited.
Well, I'll tell you why. You know why? You know why? Because I was told I was getting a lump of coal for Christmas. And then I found out I got an Atari 2600, which, again, may not be PS5 or whatever, 6, whatever they're up to. It may not be a Switch. but it wasn't the lump of coal that I thought. So my Christmas turned out to be better. Sorry, we got disconnected, John. Then we got into a discussion about Norman Powell and why Solana and I are so excited, because Crowder's like, you guys are like Christmas Day excited. And I'm like, well, I thought I was getting a lump of coal. I ended up with an Atari 2600, and I'll take it. I feel much better. No, go ahead, what you were saying about the decision.
So I don't know where I got cut off. But long story short, I was working at a now-defunct radio station. So I decided, because I think the day before the Heat had signed, or it was announced that they were going to get Bosch and Wade, and I was like, all right, we're going to be good. But not believing that we were going to be LeBron, Bosch, and Wade good, I decided to set up like an old digital camera, and I recorded my reaction, and I'm running around my house in Atlanta like an absolute maniac. And this was, again, 15 years ago. I was 35. I was a lot more of a wild card. My son was only one. I was single. The next day, our station, we were at a remote at a bowling alley, and I had on Miami Heat shoes, a D-Wade jersey, a Miami Heat hat, and the three guys I looked with or worked with looked at me and go, you should be fired just for dressing like this coming to work. And I was like, kiss my butt. We got LeBron. We got D-Wade. We got Bosch. We're the Heatles, and we're going to be a dynasty. So it was awesome, awesome time back in the day. Now we get excited about trading for Norman Powell. How things have changed in 15 years.
Hey, John, back to the decision. It's something else we talked about earlier in the show where, like, I think LeBron personally, he looks at it as a mistake because he got criticized. But big picture, business-wise, it made LeBron do something that no athlete has done in the history of sports to 2010. We're not talking about 1971. We're talking about 2010, and he did something national, made a press conference about his decision to go. Was, I guess, personally, I do think LeBron would never do it because Hawk even brought it up. He didn't do it going back to Cleveland. He didn't do it going to L.A. But, like, big picture, was a decision, quote-unquote, a mistake?
The show itself, no, because it raised $1 million for the Boys and Girls Club, I think, of Connecticut. So, you know what? Grand scheme of things, it worked out really well. Was it narcissistic? Yeah. Was it all about LeBron? Yeah. And we've learned over 20-something years of him having a career that mostly everything revolves around what's best for LeBron. But it was groundbreaking. We've seen free agents change teams in every league for how many years? You've never seen a guy have an hour special with Jim Gray holding us hostage, basically, for something that could have been a 30-second, hey, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. I mean, think about how many times we have heard that, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, and this is where we're going to end up going. So it may be a mistake in hindsight, and there's probably never going to be another athlete in the history of sports that does this, but when it came down to it, it was one of the coolest things ever. I'd love to see what the ratings were for that, because you're talking about middle of the summer, nothing on but baseball. All of us were locked in to see where the king ended up going, and he came to Miami and made the Heatles and had him a nice little dynasty there.
What is, John, your favorite Big Three moment? It could be a play, it could be a game, it could be anything off the court. What is your favorite Big Three moment from those 4 years?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there were so many of them. I'll have to say me flying down to Atlanta or flying down from Atlanta. They played Memphis on a Friday night. I think it was game 13 of the 27-game winning streak. And just to get this, to see them play in person for the first time as a Big Three was absolutely fantastic. They obviously won the game, and you know they went on to win 27 or so in a row. But it was so great. But I'll go back even before that. You know, kind of one of the moments. You're down 2-1 to Indiana in the Eastern Conference semifinals in the first year that they ended up winning the title. Coming off the loss to Dallas, I remember they lose game 3, they're down 2-1, and the whole world is going, if they lose this series, they're going to break up the Big Three. And I'm thinking to myself, like, it's been a year and a half. You can't get rid of this. And then all of a sudden, D-Wade, who's my favorite player ever, goes bananas. Udonis Haslem starts knocking down 15-footers. They win the next three. And I'm in Cancun, Mexico, when they beat the Pacers in 6. And talking trash. And there's like random people in the hotel. And I'm like, Heat gang, you know, the words that you can't say on the radio. I'm so excited. And then we ended up playing Boston in game one of that conference finals. I was still in Cancun, and the entire hotel is cheering against the Heat. And I told a few people to sit down and shut the hell up. This is Miami. You can't mess with us. And we ended up winning the NBA title that year. But I think back to that game four, I was so nervous that things were going to go sideways and that the Heatles were going to die before they really got going. But they ended up taking care of business.
They were going to break them up, I think. It's funny. It was a year and a half, but they were absolutely. If it didn't work in the first two seasons, they would have broken that team up.
Remember, Bosch was out, John, that entire series. He got hurt, and then they were down double digits in that game four in Indiana after losing one at home. Wade, LeBron scored 38 straight, combined for 69, big-time UD buckets. If they don't win that game, that team probably gets broken up, never wins a title.
And the narrative, the stuff we talk about, like this wild situation turns out to be one of the biggest disasters in sports history. Like that's
absolutely.
That's how quickly everything could have changed.
I mean, you guys are doing radio down there. Can you imagine what the national narrative ends up being for if that falls apart? LeBron's not even in a discussion for anything if that team doesn't go on to win titles. They should have won three of them. They had no business losing to Dallas in that first one. That's where LeBron turtled up to J.J. Barea, but that's a whole different story. It ended up working out at the end, and it's one of the groundbreaking and life-changing moments in sports that, let's be honest, we'll never forget for the rest of our lives.
Well, let's talk about new LeBron, Norman Powell. Here's the thing. But in all honesty, they only give up Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson, which really, you're not giving up anything. You get a starting guard. And to me, it feels like a really good acquisition. I know your Hawks have been very active in the offseason, probably kind of separated from the other play-in teams. But the Heat, with Tyler Hero and Norman Powell in the backcourt, Bam and Wiggins and Khalil Ware front court, where are they in the East? I don't think it's that bad a roster.
Well, first, let's not call them my Hawks. I just live in Atlanta. It's my Heat. Let's get that correct first and foremost.
Fair enough. My apologies.
I went from firing the entire front office to, okay, you know, wait a second. Now you got something to work with. If they can somehow now flip Terry Rozier and Andrew Wiggins into something, let some of these young guys play. Norman Powell scored 20 points a game, shot almost 40% from downtown, was like third in the sixth man of the year voting. You found something here. I like Davion Mitchell. I like everything that he's able to accomplish on the defensive end. You know, the Heat fans that want to run Tyler Hero out of town, you guys are insane. Like, that guy is a bucket. Yeah, he hasn't won anything yet, and they won without him being there a few times. But you're talking about a guy that's 23, 24 points a game and can flat out get it rolling. So I like everything you've done so far with Norman Powell. Like I said, now you just got Terry Rozier. That albatross has to go. I'll take an order of arroz capollo and get him on out of here. Maybe some croquetas. But outside of that, you know, I think Pat Riley and company made the team a little bit better. With the East being a disaster, I think they have a chance to maybe get out of the play-in scenario, especially if they add one more piece.
And John, talking about the East, what's the East? The Cavs are still going to be pretty good. I don't know without Halliburton with the Achilles, what's going to go on. The Celtics, you know, Jason's out. Like, what is the East? Orlando added, they gave up, they gave their whole damn roster up for Desmond Bane. What is the East going to look like? Because I think our hope in the East, John, is that the East is not that good. So now we can sneak up on them with the Norman Powell, Hero, Bam, Wiggins, Ware, you know, combination.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect description of what the East is. I mean, Halliburton, they announced yesterday or today that he's definitely out for the year. Duh, he's got a torn Achilles. I've torn both. It's a year recovery. It's not fun. Tatum's going to be out for a year. And the Celtics are marketably worse. You lose Drew Holiday. You lose Kristaps Porzingis. I think they're a team that falls down more towards the middle of the pack. To me, it's the Cavs and the Knicks are number one and number two in some order, and that's if Mike Brown can handle what's going on in New York. I think when you slide down from there, it's probably the younger teams, Detroit, maybe Orlando. Indiana not only loses Halliburton, they lose Miles Turner. That's their starting center who's gone, who now flips over to Milwaukee. I don't know where Milwaukee plays into this. If Giannis stays and he's pissed off, they're probably in that 5-6 range. And I think from there, it's Heat and Hawks kind of slide in, and they could probably fight with Detroit and fight with Orlando. it's 1 and 2, and then it's a mishmash of about 7 teams to try to be in that 3 through 10 range.
Canes and Notre Dame is just next month. I mean, you coming down for that, John?
I mean, dude, I got tickets 4 rows from the field. My season tickets are in section 106. I'm in row 4. You damn right I'm coming down. I got the hall pass for that weekend, Crowder. You'll love this. I asked the wifey. I said, look, we got 2 monster games at the beginning of the year, Notre Dame, and then 3 weeks later going to Florida. She goes, it's too hot in Miami on August 31st. Yeah, as if September 20th, it's going to be a winter storm warning. So she's letting me come down to Notre Dame on a 3-day Labor Day weekend. And then on the other side, she'll come down for the Florida game. I said, there'll be a lot less sophisticated fans at the Florida game than there will be the Notre Dame game. But either way, we're whooping ass in both of them. We're going to whoop both their ass from start to finish. And Miami's going to the playoffs.
I have to live it every day. It's like taking a class in Gainesville.
Look at here now. I'm just in y'all going bad mouth. We're in the country, but y'all want to bad mouth us, John. I do not think that Beck is anywhere close to what Ward was, and he had to bail y'all out of a lot of games last year.
Yeah, the defense also isn't nearly as bad as it was a year ago when that ding-dong Lance Guidry couldn't figure out, hey, just let 4 guys put their hand in the dirt and go get it. Stop having our DNs covering running backs and everything else. He never could figure that out. Look, Carson Beck's 2-0 against Florida. He played his worst game maybe ever against the Gators this year, and they still won by 2 touchdowns. Miami's got better receivers than Georgia. They have a better offensive line and better running backs. All he has to do is go back and get back to the Carson Beck of 2 years ago. You know how he alleviated some of the problems? He probably allegedly found himself a nice Latina walking around campus, and now all of a sudden his nerves are at ease. His elbow feels better. You know, he's got
life
a little swag to him. I think he got a part in his head, maybe got a nice little edge up, got one of those Ronaldo haircuts. He's ready to go. I mean, yeah, things are better.
Once you get that temp fade, John, you get that temp fade, you play better.
All of a sudden,
that's what it is. You guys have to tell me, because you guys have all had hair longer. When the hell did haircuts become $40 and $50? I hadn't had to cut my hair for 3 decades. I finally get this hair replacement thing.
You got a hair transplant? What did you do?
I got hair replacement surgery, advanced hair restoration here in Atlanta. And it's literally where they take your natural hair, they pull it out, and then replant it. Dude, I got a full head of hair. But I'm about tired of paying $50 every 2 weeks to get a damn haircut. The little Dominican guy cuts my hair in 15 minutes. I'm like, that's $50 now? That used to be $10, and you'd get like an $8 tip. Now it's $50 and a $20 tip, and I'm like, I can't even go buy tires for my car trying to cut my hair.
Could they plant Crowder's hair in my head? Would that take?
I don't think the dreadlock itself will
Yeah, or does it have to be your own? Because I like Crowder's look.
I think
would
it
go
has
bald
to be your own.
For you to have dreads. I'd give up every follicle in my head for you to have dreads.
I'm going to check into this. I mean,
the part that y'all will laugh at, the part that y'all will laugh at, the hair is growing. The goal, and I won/lost a bet with my AAU kids. I told them a year ago, I said, if you guys win a tournament, I'll grow braids like all of you have. Because Kane's got braids down the middle of his back. So now they're always like, coach, getting them braids, coach. So I am going to have cornrows at one point. I'm going to look like a complete idiot. And then I'm going to cut my hair back a little bit in a normal length. So right now it's in that growing till I can get cornrow look. And there will be a time you guys will see me with cornrows. I may go get some Eddie Golds while I'm at it, Channing. I may go get
you
go
like
to the
one
Golds
of those guys that got off the cruise ship in Nassau and ended up at the straw market and walked back to the ship with braids.
Yes, that's going to be me.
Don't put the yarn in there. Don't let him put that colorful yarn in your head, John.
Oh, you see them coming a mile away.
And I'm going to the Dominican in a month, and I asked my wife, I said, should I go get some extensions and just braid it now before we go? And she goes, absolutely not.
I'm with the wife, John. Don't get extensions.
John Michaels, football season cannot get here soon enough. John Michaels, follow him on Twitter at John Michaels U, the letter U. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. We appreciate it, John.
Anytime, guys.
UM Notre Dame, just a month from now. I didn't say a month, but it is next month. It's the last day of next month. So we're going to be there before you know it. There's NFL football this month, right? Isn't there is the Hall of Fame game like the last day of this month? I think it's the last day of this month.
Either the last day of this month or like the second day of August. Yeah.
I think it's this month. I think there's NFL football this month. All right, we'll take a break here, and we will come back with more Do Not Go Anywhere on this Tuesday.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Cooper Flag is white.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.